This is the audio recording for the Candia Planning Board meeting for March 19, 2025.
States of America, into the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before I do a roll call, I'd like to welcome Dave Labby to the board. Thank you very much. Good to have you. So I will be changing my roll call names here. Judy.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Tim, here. Brian.
Here.
Dave.
Here.
Linda.
Here.
And Kevin.
Here.
There we go. That is complete. So now we'll move on to new business. We have case number 25-002, lot line adjustment. Applicant Franklin Veer Associates, 143 Raymond Road, Unit 4, Candia, New Hampshire. Owner Carl Pearson and Sarah Merrill, 85 High Street, Goffstown, New Hampshire, 03045. And Geo Family Revocable Trust, 8 Oak Lane, Stratham, New Hampshire. Property location, South Road, Candia, New Hampshire, map 410, lots 133 and 134. Intent to adjust the lot lines between 133 and 134 and grant approximately 10 acres to Geo Revocable Trust. And the applicants, you want to go up and let us know what you're doing here?
All right. Good evening. I'm Jason Franklin from Franklin Veer Associates. We prepared to do the survey, prepared the plan, and we're going to be representing the Merrills, Pearsons, and the Gios who are here in the office tonight. So this is pretty straightforward. We were here maybe a year and a half ago. We had transferred this upper portion to the Gios from the Merrills. And we are back in front of you tonight to extend the 10 acres over in this piece. It's large enough, we don't need, say, subdivision approval. We did not do any test pits. It's pretty straightforward, the standard transfer of property. I don't really know what else to say about it. It's pretty simple. I'm more than happy to answer any questions.
I would like to speak up. My name is Forrest Brewer. I am co-owner of the
property. Wait till we get it all figured out. Yeah, but wait till we get this kind of figured out a little bit. Because we're still trying to figure it out before we get there.
That 10-acre piece is a portion of the current 410, 133, which is 109.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Correct.
Now, I'm confused by this drawing because it shows the current 110-134 is this rectangle, but the current map doesn't show this knockout like this. Is that?
I would say that the tax map is incorrect and has not been updated from the last time we did the Geo property over it in here.
Okay.
Yep.
Who's responsible for that?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
It's actually something.
I think we did that lot line adjustment. I think it was late 2023 or early 2024.
Okay. He did it in 2023 late November, early December 2023.
143.
I have the exact date if you'd like it.
So walk me through this again.
Sure.
So lot 134 is this whole big kind of L-shaped block right now?
Correct. This is lot 134.
Okay.
And then after the transfer, it will encompass all of this.
And that's coming, so right now 133, this hard line that's shown here doesn't exist, right? Okay, got it. I see the legend of proposed new line.
Correct.
So right now, that line up there doesn't exist. That wraps around 134.
Correct. Yeah, when we dashed it just to kind of highlight it, we could have used colors, but
They don't typically do that.
Okay, so just to clarify for me, I'm looking at the current map on our website, right? And so this piece used to be like this, and we've lot line adjusted it and added that.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. And all right, I get that.
Yep. I know the town of Kandy has been going through a lot of changes with the assessing GIS database. They went from Avatar to Vision or something. So there's been a lot of turmoil involved with all the assessing databases.
Yeah, and as far as the GIS stuff, that's an agenda item we'll talk about that is Amy and I were talking about earlier.
Okay, so this reflects the current status. The tax map does not reflect the current status.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. As I understand. So there is no new lot creation. There is no subdivision. It is just moving an existing lot line.
Correct.
To create a larger 134 and a smaller 133.
Correct.
To simplify it. Anybody else got anything else?
My understanding is Pine Hill Road is not a town road. Is that correct? It has been deemed given back to the owners, essentially. They have a right-of-way. Is that correct?
I don't know the answer to that, but in this case, it doesn't really matter because the road frontage
is up on
133, so it doesn't matter. We're not creating a new lot here that would be buildable. If they came in to re-subdivide this lot to build something, then that's something that would matter. So at this point, that doesn't.
Okay.
I have a question because it looks like they want these two lines to be eliminated, but then I don't see where they're creating the new one.
It's on top of the dark one.
The dark one. You see it says proposed.
So basically you're just taking this away and it's going to be one big one.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, this line's going to go away and the new one's going to be proposed there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't see that little legend at first, too.
Yeah.
So how many acres will it be total?
After the transfer?
Yes.
Approximately 16.
Oh, so it's 26.
Okay, this was...
Yeah.
That was 3. They added that 3 already.
Yeah.
And then they're adding 10.
Oh, that's missing.
Yeah.
I see.
Okay.
Anybody else got anything else? State your name and where you live.
My name is Forrest Brewer. I'm the co-owner of the property at 260 South Road with my wife, Catherine. I am here to contest this, what they're trying to do. Since you are the planning board, I have video evidence as well as photographic evidence of what is happening. The surveyor just said, this is an actual map. If you guys approve this, then this map that is drawn will go in as a public document. Right here it says map 140, 135, Kimberly Sullivan, Revocable Trust. They're listing that in front of you as the owner. I have my deed right here that says that I and my wife, Catherine, are the owners, the legal owners of the property. Okay, this map is wrong, number one.
What do we have for the town map?
The town map has me on a tax record. I have it right here. I'd be glad to show it to you. In your tax record, that lot right there, 410-135.
You get the map there, Kevin, right?
But it doesn't have the owner. It just says 410-135.
Under the tax map,
I am the
owner.
It's just hard to find it.
May I address that?
Absolutely.
It is a typo, and it is simple. We list the actual abutters, and we have to correct abutter over here. This is a typo and can be corrected prior to the recording of the deed. We will address that issue before we record the model.
I disagree. Sir, I am a civil engineer.
Okay.
By education and by practice. I am a structural engineer. Okay? This document has to be fixed for these people to review it and approve it.
I just said that you cannot,
it's not as simple. I am rejecting this on this one grounds. Two is on the grounds of, right now I have free flowing water that right now exits, stand right here. I have free flowing water that exits from this property out and comes onto my property.
Mm-hmm.
unrestricted. I have pictures right here. I'd be glad to show you. This is turbidity.
Yeah, but my question to you, sir, is that why a is property it? Line... No, I don't care. A property line adjustment doesn't change that because there's no development being done.
Because what happens is, right now, also the Gale family is also transferring water onto my property illegally. These are both being done illegally. If you bring this in, it just compounds the problem.
Not really. It just changes the ownership of it. That's all. Yeah. It doesn't change anything else.
If you have an issue with that, that's a compliance issue with the building inspector if they're doing something
illegal.
No,
I have contacted my... I've gone to the building inspector. Uh-huh. My building inspector has told your building inspector...
Not mine, town's.
The town's building inspector has said to hire an attorney, which we did. Okay? As you're seeing this, it is a civil lawsuit. And again, you're not being involved in a civil lawsuit. A civil lawsuit against the Gale family and a civil lawsuit against the Merrill and Pearson family. And if you approve this, there is right now, they harvested a bunch of trees here and they changed the tree canopy, which changed the flow characteristics of the land. That is clearly something that they've changed, already altered. That will transfer over to the Gale family's responsibility. The Merrill Pearson family should address this. They should address not letting the water come from their property, my property. The Gale family should do the same.
Again, not germane to the board. I mean, that's a situation where if the Gale family ends up being liable for it and there is liability found and they think the Merrill family should pay for it, that's between them. That's got nothing to do with this board. And nothing that's being proposed here would either enhance or mitigate any water runoff. It's just a lot line adjustment.
It's a lot line adjustment, but this board, number one, this is in wrong.
Now let me ask you this.
Number two is this board has the opportunity to have them put a stay on this for 90 days, to have them go back and propose when they're doing this how they're going to mitigate the water runoff.
No, it's not in our purview for a lot line adjustment. Unfortunately, you know, for your situation, it's not in our purview. Our purview is just, does it create a non-compliant law?
We wouldn't sign the recorded plan until it was corrected anyway.
The question I have for Franklin Vero is, was this gentleman notified as an abutter?
I believe so, Amy.
He's on the abutter list.
We have it incorrectly.
Were you notified?
Yes, I have the paper right here. The issue also is, and just so you know, so it doesn't have an issue, this water is coming out onto the road and eroding the road there.
Again,
Pine Hill Road.
It's not ideal.
It's not.
It's not a town maintained road.
Not a town maintained road. It's maintained by the citizens on that road.
Correct.
But these people are knowingly and willingly damaging the road.
But again, that's nothing to do with what's in front of the board at this time.
Yeah.
So you're alleging that this...
No, I have photographs. I'm just telling you exactly what's happening.
So the runoff change is a result of them lumbering their property?
Yes, they have changed the tree canopy.
So lumbering your property is completely within the rights of an owner?
Correct.
Yeah. If damages...
Which if they pulled an intent to cut.
If damages result from that... Is there liability that can be addressed? That's totally
civilly,
definitely
but
not us.
Not us.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Not the town's issue.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've got that. That's not something we can consider in this. I mean, if they were coming in with a proposal for a subdivision building, mm-hmm. yes, right. But since there's no building being done here, no subdivision being done.
How come you didn't correct that on the plan?
How come?
How come?
Because I need new glasses.
That went and changed almost 2.5 years ago.
We used the old plan as a template, and like I said, we addressed it up here. It just got missed down there. And you were notified, so we can make that change for the final.
Right.
So with your comment,
sure.
Here's the old plan. Whose name is on that property? Says Forrest and Catherine Brewer. So what you're telling the board is not correct.
Again, I can't explain.
It says nothing.
It happened. My assumption is that, you know, I did not do all the drafting on this plan, so I can't.
We will ensure that that is corrected before we sign the Mylars.
I can absolutely make sure that's correct.
And as long as legal notification's been made and you're listed as an abutter, which you are on the abutters list.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's met the criteria.
That's met the criteria.
When this goes to a legal document, that needs to be fixed.
It will be.
It will be. We won't sign it without that being changed.
Correct. Okay.
It's not a big deal.
And that type of thing happens on a regular basis.
This is on record, so I'm just letting you know. We are opposed to this.
Yeah.
And this conversation will be part of a further action. And you all may be called as witnesses.
Sure.
Just be very clear about that. Thank you.
You are entirely welcome. Take your mug.
Any other comments? Board, any other deliberation or?
No, it's like Jason said, other than that, being changed.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
So somebody want to make a motion to that effect?
Make a motion that we approve the lot line adjustment as proposed with the one change on the plans for the lot 135.
A second.
Judy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Tim? Yes. Brian?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
And Kevin?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck with your new glasses.
I'm getting older, you know.
Really?
I'm not. We beat you.
The thing about birthdays is like the people that have the most are the old ones.
I'm fighting
it. Great. I'm not going to find her as long as I can.
Well, it's time to get involved. We wanted to put a second driveway on the package. So this goes by. Goes back for a while.
Whatever.
But it's a bigger issue than what we have to deal with.
But we can't. I mean, that's
no.
So
it's
we can,
total civil matter.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at our checklist. I'm guessing we had everything off on the checklist, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. The only problem was a typo on the map.
135.
Yep.
But the fact that the abutters list was correct.
Yeah.
And the correct notifications were made is all that legally matters.
If he hadn't been legally notified, then that would have been a different issue.
We would have had to.
Right. Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm just looking at this. There's this last line copy of the agreement between joining the map owners, blah, 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 blah. There's no extant. So that's, but maybe that's part of 1204. Maybe it's a formatting thing.
And all owners were here, so we're
yep.
Perfect.
All right.
All right.
Well, it wouldn't be like between discussing it. It must be the open, right?
Right. Yep. So. Just a little education.
Yeah.
Case number 24-008, major subdivision for Dar Builders LLC in Manchester on the Crowley Road, Tanglewood subdivision. That is now scheduled for May 7th. Okay.
At the CYAA.
At the
CYAA.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good to note.
Okay. And nothing new there. And also case number 24-009, AV development on Diamond Hill Road. That has been moved to April 2nd. And we do have a meeting between engineers and the like, Monday. And I'll be there too to make sure everything goes according to plan and try to get things worked out. So that's kind of where that is. There's been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Now, in the application, from what I've read, they're supposed to have markers delineating the road that's going in there. There are no delineations of road yet, and it's part of the application process.
Okay, I'll talk with Dan about that. I'll make a note of that and cover it on Monday.
Yeah.
Because there's just
Because that's that's a biggie right there.
You're going through a checklist anyway, aren't you, with the Monday?
Well, it's more the, you know, we've all seen them, the punch lists where, you know, Stantec does their response to the response of the response of the response of the response. And there's still a lot of open items. And not appropriate to talk about them here, but just to let you know status of it, that's still, the punch list is still pretty long.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that's...
I think that came out in an email.
Yeah.
Stantec's letter did, yes. Yeah.
I didn't go through it line by line yet, though. I keep thinking about it and then not getting to it.
Something more exciting comes up, like the Sears catalog.
They stopped those 20 years ago.
Still working on it.
Seems like just yesterday.
He's still getting them.
So, yeah, that's the situation there. And as far as any rescheduling, you'll notice that we've pushed Crowley Road to the first meeting in May, because I will not be in town for the second meeting in April. My wife and I will be in the high desert of Arizona. So figured it was best to have the full board for you.
Yes. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And our attorney
and all that good stuff. Okay. So that's new and old business. Let's move on to the next agenda items, which is choose a chairman and a vice chairman, because the current term ends tonight. So take a nomination for chairman.
I'd like to nominate Tim Darcy for chair.
I will second that.
Second, triple that, whatever you want.
Who's taking the second?
I did.
Kevin did.
Any discussion?
None needed.
Good, because, you know, don't make me get mad. Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
I'm going to abstain, obviously. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
All right.
And I just want to say you've done a fantastic job this year.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I truly appreciate it. And I was going to say, before we move on to vice chair, I was going to, you know, thank everybody here. I mean, I just truly appreciate the support and the work that we've all put in. And,
well, you put the work in.
You know, it's just rewarding when we all work together and we get things done, and I'm willing to do the work. I'd rather do that than do the work for nothing, right? So it just feels good, and I do truly appreciate it all from everybody.
Good.
And last Tuesday from the town, it was truly humbling. It really was.
Yep. So. It is better when everyone's pulling on the same end of the rope.
Yeah, it usually works better that way, yeah. Yeah, and because otherwise you get hauled through the mud. So,
So if you're ready, I'll make a motion for
yes.
Just a chair, Mark Shelbeck.
Second.
I'd like to second that.
All right. Discussion.
None needed.
All right, Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Abstain.
Tim. Yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
All right. There we go. So that is done, so
thank
nothing
you.
Much.
I also want to welcome Dave to the board tonight, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, welcome to the gulag.
I'm waiting for the grease.
So,
I'm not sure what that means, but...
staying on the agenda, minutes, anybody have any...
No, that looks good.
Anybody have any...
They looked good.
They look good. AI is doing a good job.
Yeah. It's a good use of AI.
You've been fired.
Anybody else? Any, get a motion, brother?
Make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
I think we'll just do an aye or nay. All those in favor,
aye.
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 I will abstain.
Mark abstain. Dave abstain. But we still have four. All right. So... And it looks like we get some people who may want to make some comments, but I just...
No, I just have a pop in to say hi.
Oh,
well, you know, we missed you.
It's good to see you.
Are you still here?
Wow. Well,
somebody told me that your position was posted.
Yes.
She moved up, right?
Yes.
But she hasn't.
She's doing double duty for now.
But yes.
Yeah, I saw that Andrea had gone over to Brentwood, didn't you?
The new land use coordinator starts full-time on Monday.
Do we have a new building?
We do, yeah. Very nice.
A lot of new faces.
The hook is still
embedded. I know, because
for now.
You're wiggling off soon, though.
Yes. This is my last.
Everybody has a...
Oh, last one.
So, town planning and other business of the board, I'll just pass these around. In our last couple of short meetings, we bantered about major subdivision edits. It printed off, I couldn't print it off my work laptop. I sent it to my tablet and printed off crappy. But it's pretty much everything we've talked about. I've kind of made the notes in bold as to what proposed changes probably. One that I added that we didn't really ever talk about was in section 3.2 notice. It says that notice to the general public shall be given by one publication of a legal notice in a newspaper.
I think
think it's time to get rid of that and say, you know, online is designated by the board to include the town website. Yeah. Just while we're going through it.
Yeah. I do get a newspaper, but I don't read the public posts.
Yeah,
right. We used to have it in the neighborhood news.
Yeah.
But
no.
Yeah. They closed that one down.
I still get it,
but there's no public notices in it.
No.
It's very short. It's only like six
pages.
RSA
doesn't require, there isn't an RSA that requires you to do it, because Auburn still puts their planning notices in.
We have to notify it in two places.
Right, so where would the two be?
Cases, it has to be.
Post office.
Okay, and then in the front here.
And online.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So
I was just going to mention that several people reached out to me that do not have computers. Obviously, some older people. But it's good that we have some other ways for it to get out.
Yeah, it gets out.
Post office, and then in front of the...
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. But good point.
And one of the things, too, that Amy and I talked about, because there was a lot of... Joe just up and left. I came here for a reason. People were starting to broil because the meetings get continued and they weren't aware of it because we didn't actually put an announcement on the website that the meeting was continued to a date certain.
Oh,
they are up there now.
But that we're okay. So we're going to start doing that now. Didn't really think of it. You know, it's like, oh, just continue it to that date and it's in the minutes and they can read the minutes, but nobody reads the minutes. So we're...
Right, that's good to put it on the agenda.
Right.
Right, yeah, but and put it like...
Sort of like what we see.
Yeah, just a little notification on the website that says continue to this date. And
I think it was like the front page top item almost, so it was blatant that...
Yes.
Yeah, that was due to some Facebook comments when I went, oh, yeah.
I've gotten a few phone calls.
Yeah. I didn't get any phone calls. Nobody has my damn number. A couple of quick notes. In conversations with Stantec, and with Amy, to the point on the GIS mapping, it has not really been updated up to snuff in a timely manner or at all. So Amy's following up with the updates that need to be done. I think part of the problem is that the number that we received in terms of maintenance, annual maintenance, was a lowball number. That was basically a keep the lights on number.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't know. We're going to look into it. We might have run out of budget for doing updates, okay? So this year, I think Amy's checking the number. I think we're 15 or 16 grand, which is we put in a little more than we did last year. But in the future, we might have to put more in for maintenance, just to make sure that these things are updated and that we have them, because it's no good if it's old, right? Like you were trying to use it and it didn't make sense.
So what good is the budget that we have allocated for them? What does that give us?
Well, there's a licensing fee for the GIS software and, you know, upgrades and stuff like that. And I think it gave us a little bit of work. I don't really know. And we don't know yet why the updates didn't happen. I'm suspecting that we might have hit budget number. I don't know. But... We're fun trying to find out what happened there.
Well, I think Brian left Stantec.
And
that's
probably
the bigger ball drop.
Yeah. So.
Especially since it's one of the checklists on the application, a tax map. So it has to be something that's updated.
Agreed.
I know ours hasn't been updated in 2.5-3 years, our lot line adjustment and tax map.
That's something that...
And actually, there's other neighbors. Remember, we had a problem that neighbor wasn't shown on a map. And that's been a long time. That name has been there.
Yeah, that tax maps have been an issue for many years.
Yeah. Right, at least 25 that I know of.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, who's to say, right, if they imported from the tax map originally, which would have been a couple of years ago, and there were errors in the tax map.
Right,
the errors are still there. Because all we're doing, all that we've, you know, Amy's doing and we're going to contract to do is make the changes. So if there's an error from pre-GIS, which would have been in your 2.5 year range.
Yeah, well, these neighbors have been there for a long time. And when Tom Severino came in, I was like, you're missing this neighbor. So now that's cost him more money to get it fixed.
You know, that may be something we try and work with, but that's not necessarily up to us. And maybe we can talk to the select board about them funding something with the town government.
Who else uses the GIS? Does the fire and police?
The cemetery trustees.
Cemetery?
Yeah.
So they all chip
That's
in?
That's an odd noise.
Does the state have the actual correct map on the deed? Like if there was ever a dispute, what map would they use?
Would that be registered in
the deed?
Rockingham County?
Yeah,
registry is correct and up to date.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Tax maps are
behind
the ball.
Yeah, it's like not like we don't have access to who really owns the land. It's just, you know.
In cases like tonight, when we look at the map, it's inaccurate.
Right. Correct.
So, but the registry doesn't necessarily have a map. They have the deeds. So you need someone to be able to decipher that.
Look at
but they have book and page and map and lot number.
Don't they have copies of the Mylars?
Seems like they would. They would actually have.
They would have it cataloged in a computer system somewhere. So you'd go, map Humpty Squat lot 45-2, and they would go, that's owned by
I haven't seen it, haven't looked for it obviously, but I do know that when one of the scouts was going for Nate was going for his Eagle, he was trying to get a plot of land that supposedly was owned by the town, but it was actually owned by the state. Unfortunately, the tax map shows a town, and then some people did some deed checking and found out that it's the state's.
You know, we tried our best, but that's
sorry, a lot of history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're gonna try and keep it clean going forward, which we're a little behind on. And like I said, we might have to increase budget to, and we'll figure all that out over the next year because we got time. But that's kind of that. We are about ready to get rolling on HOP grant. We should have the proposals and the like, and I'll have Amy. Did we email out to the board the final thing that Cam just sent us that we all agreed to? Yeah, we should email that out to the board, have Megan do that.
Okay.
Just kind of gives you the step-by-step. It just kind of got agreed to. Well, Cam just presented it. I made one small edit, and Dan made some edits, but it's a teamwork between the two organizations. And we need to get, proposal documents that we can sign with dollar amounts to get everything going. And Stantec is working on getting authorized to be part of the HOP grant. So, and that's all I had. Anybody else had anything?
I just had a question. Would tiny houses, small houses, qualify as an ADU?
If they were 850 square feet.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean,
love the idea.
They'd
have to be stationary. They'd have to be not on wheels.
It would have to come down to a compliance issue with the building inspector in terms of inspecting wiring, plumbing.
Right. Septic, all that good stuff.
850 square feet is not a tiny house.
That's true. Tiny houses are typically 300 to 500 square feet.
Right.
Yeah.
But they can. ADUs can be smaller, right?
Yeah. That's the maximum.
I've seen
bigger. That's the max.
Tiny houses too.
Yeah.
There's some tiny houses that are nice.
Yeah.
Have you seen the boxable stuff from Mux from Elon? There's a company called Boxable, BOXABL. Pretty impressive. They land on a flatbed and they're up and running in like 6 hours. You got to have the the base constructed, electricity in, plumbing, all that stuff, but they're pre-wired, pre-insulated, solar, like all to code. He's developed a new, like R32 insulation that's like that.
Wow.
It's
yeah, it's not wood either. It's a different fabric.
Right.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
But
yeah,
it's they're not legal in New Hampshire.
Really?
They're only legal in a handful of states.
Yeah.
Vermont's one of them, but New Hampshire forbids them, Mass forbids them.
And is there any rationale? Why?
It's probably, in my guesstimate, it's probably a whole bunch of bureaucrats saying, how are we going to make money off of this with inspections and stuff if they come in and they're all done? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Are we still on this?
Yeah, we can discuss it, yeah, if you want. Yeah.
Okay.
I just kind of created a list of everything we talked about.
No, I like your list because it's good talking points. The WB67, I thought they were going down to a 40 because they always put that way there.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. We all think it's a good idea. The town engineer is on board with it. The road agent is not.
Okay, so why are we going to drive a tractor trailer through a residential development?
Jeff's concern is about snow removal and, you know, swing radiuses for school buses in the winter and road deterioration because of the snow plows going off the road. So what we're going to do as part of the HOP, this is all going to be fed into HOP. That's why I put it on there as something we're going to look at. Because I think because of Jeff's objection, which may very well be founded, we need to have that be looked at a little more seriously in terms of what other towns do, so on and so forth, you know.
It'd be more viable if we weren't buying extra short fire trucks.
Yep.
You know.
So, and I guess, and it could very well be true, Jeff's assertion is that all of the waivers we've given have all been on non-town roads, which may very well be true.
I'd have to look at
it. Yeah.
I think it is.
I don't have that.
Yeah, I haven't.
I was thinking the same thing.
I haven't, you know, I figure we've got this HOP grant. I'll let the engineer, you know,
take a look at
time. I only have a certain...
Plus, we could have Jeff come in and at least explain his view.
Right.
So we can have a better educated decision.
That's why I wrote it the way I did.
Okay.
Because I don't think we're there yet to be able to say yay or nay on that one.
No, it was a good one because we always give waivers for that one, and it's like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But to me, I think the most important thing I think we need to get out of this work that we're going to have done is the number one thing there, which again, spacing doesn't show up, but commercial versus residential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Possibly making two separate sections.
I like that idea.
Right, that just makes it a lot neater, cleaner.
Because one is industrial,
yeah.
The other one's totally residential.
Areas. Even if a lot of it's repeated and we make the regulations a little larger, it'll just be more clear as to what's what. So I think that's kind of a key piece.
Okay.
All right. Any public comment? No? Fun night out?
Tim, something was brought up to me about no regulations or zoning on solar panels on property. There's nothing in our regulations on solar.
Not that I've seen.
The building code, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there isn't.
No. I mean, you're. Are you talking like
not
where
for
you
us?
Could put it.
Yeah.
It doesn't refer to solar,
in
particular. No. It talks about because you're dealing with that. Will's dealing with that on an applicant now. What is the verbiage that it uses? But it's
we have a permissive ordinance. So if it's not expressly permitted, it's implicitly denied.
Yeah.
So maybe
if it's not expressly permitted, it's denied.
It's implicitly denied.
Yeah.
So,
whoa.
That
going
seems like
forward,
the opposite of the way it should be.
Yeah.
Going
forward with solar, I mean, it's a lot of people are putting it in. Is that something we want to look at? or does it become more of a zoning ZBA issue to be thinking about?
Good questions.
I think that's where you'd have to put it. It would have to go into the zoning ordinance, I would think, right? Because you would want it to apply not to just subdivisions.
Right.
So some places you could get like a 1 meg solar field, and that would have to be in an industrial area. I mean, you wouldn't want that in a residential.
Right. So even in industrial, there's nothing there in the zoning with.
That would be up to the ZBA because there's a lot of things that they got to do. I mean, they got to make sure the bases are right. We got to put in the correct amount of line extension, the size wire.
But like opposite mobile, where
plus car runoff too is an issue.
Right. Yeah, they have it on the.
They got a ton of solar up there. Mm-hmm. If you built that place and you say I want solar,
well, that's on your roof. It's not
right. Yeah. Does that have to get permitted or
through the building inspector?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because they have to. They would have to show the engineering for it, all the electrical, wattages, and what it's going to produce, and how they're going to dump it back into the system.
Okay. Amy, could you run that? It's a permissible.
It's a permissive ordinance.
Permissive ordinance, and that's part of our charter, our bill. Like
that's just the way our ordinances are written.
Is that the way it's always been, to the best of your knowledge, or did somebody decide that along the way?
Yeah, that
ordinance. They haven't known it to be any different.
Yeah, that ordinance was way back.
So unless it's explicitly allowed, it's forbidden.
Correct.
Until it's challenged.
That's what happened. That's what happened with the campground thing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It was like nowhere in our ordinance do we address campgrounds, so you can't have a campground. Mm-hmm. Now, if you put it in a commercial zone, now it's not so much a campground, it's a business, and you can rule it as a commercial business and deal with it that way. But in a residential zone, you can't say it's a commercial business because it's a residential zone, so you can't even make that case. Yeah. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it is.
Illuminating how it's interpreted.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And like the solar thing, I mean, I don't know if we need to address it unless we wanted to from an aesthetic standpoint or something, because even if we tried to limit it, well, the state and the feds are going to come down on us. I mean, it'd be no sense. It'd be a waste of lawyers' money.
Maybe not anymore.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, maybe, yeah, not for the next 4 years at least.
So, out of curiosity, we would, let's say you put up a freestanding solar system. Mm-hmm. I would assume that setbacks and such still would be required.
Yes.
Okay.
It has to comply with everything.
All right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the same thing that something that would come before us, I doubt we would say, you can't put a solar array in, but we have to review the site plan and, you know, I think that's something that nowadays you just have to let happen, but make it so that it's aesthetically safe and drainage.
Not built on pallets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
On solar, I have a friend of mine who just moved to Northern California, and he got his first electric bill, and it was $1,000 a month.
And it's because it got the wrong meter.
And in the summertime, it's going to, well, no, there's 62 cents a kilowatt.
62 cents, but sometimes if they don't put the right meter in, even though he's putting electricity in the grid, it's registering.
Oh, no,
as
he hasn't
usage.
Done. He hasn't done solar yet. He's straight up. He bought the house. By the estimates of usage of the house, he's going to be at like 1,400 in the summertime. So he's putting in a solar array that, after tax credits, is costing him $795 a month. So he's cashing positive right away, and he'll have the thing paid off in 3.5 years. It's like, okay, yeah, I'd go solar for that.
I wouldn't move there.
That's a personal. I agree with you. But he moved from Sanibel Island, you know, that island in Florida that 2 years ago was underwater?
That used to be there?
Yeah, that used to be there. Yeah, so, you know. Anybody got anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
There you go.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.